Fancy seeing you here. I'm your host, Allie Ray, a serial entrepreneur and mom who loves building brands and raising babies. This is a podcast about being on brand and in season in every facet of your life. Each week, we dive into topics around business and brand development while sprinkling some hard-earned life lessons in there too. So if you love a good brand and a good breakdown, buckle up and come along with me as I sort of seamlessly switch between major life roles in an attempt to fulfill all the life dreams of a type A Enneagram 3 millennial small business owner who wants to help other entrepreneurs and raise good humans. This is the Allie Ray Haney Show. Hello and welcome back to the final episode of season 2 of the Allie Ray Haney Show. Back when I started season 2, I actually asked my Instagram followers to tell me if there was any specific topics that they would want me to cover. And one of the topics that was mentioned was how in the world to create content for social media when you are either at the beginning of your business and don't have much to talk about, or perhaps you are an established business owner and are going through a dry spell, so to speak. So that is what we were talking about today. And in the past, we've discussed the importance of staying consistent on social media. Staying consistent really allows your target audience to see that, yes, you are in business, regardless of whether you are new in business or you're still trying to show them that you are still in business. And yes, you're still taking clients. And in fact, you can help them with the problems they are having, even if you are having a slow spot in your business yourself. So sometimes though, like, staying consistent isn't always easy. So aside from, of course, just life happening, business isn't always booming. You may not always have clients that are beating down your door. Your business may be cyclical or seasonal, like mine was when I was a wedding photographer. So what happens in those off seasons or downtimes that you don't have specific projects or client work to share on social media? Well, this used to cross my mind a lot when I was first starting my business back in 2017. My business actually started as a photography business. So I was doing all those like hustle marketing tactics, like posting in local Facebook groups, trying to get leads. I was reaching out to friends. I was trying to post on social media consistently. I think I even paid for some Facebook ads at one point really early on that had like zero strategy attached to them. But I really want you to avoid all of the mistakes that I made in the beginning. So here are 7 strategies for creating content when you have little to no content in real life. First is behind the scenes content. So let me give you an example of what I mean by behind the scenes content. So let me give you an example of back when I was a very new photographer. I was taking any and all sessions that came my way, but even when I was taking all kinds of sessions, whether it was a cake smash or maternity or couples or whatever, I really didn't have that consistent of sessions coming in through the pipeline. So I figured out a way to make one photography session basically provide me with 5 social media posts. Now, back in 2017, Instagram was a little bit different than it is now. We didn't have the push for video content, but even so, the video content, I think, allows for more variation for content creation. But let me walk you through how I made that one session turn into 5 posts. So first, I would do a post when I was cleaning my gear or prepping my gear for the actual session. I was very new and very nervous before every single session. So before every session, I would actually go to the actual location where I would be shooting, and I would look at the light at the time of day. I would scout the location to see if there were any nearby specific like little vignettes that I wanted to shoot at. So I would make that location scouting time also another behind the scenes post. Then I would do the behind the scenes like planning process. So if I was creating a shot list or if I was doing research on poses, anything like that, I could make into an Instagram post. Then I would do behind the scenes of the actual session. So when I had my clients there in front of me, I would be able to take some behind the scenes video content or a selfie with my clients to show like the what it actually looked like when I was shooting the session. And then finally, I had the actual images from the session, and I would be able to use those even not just as one post, but as multiple posts throughout, you know, the next 3 to 4 months and beyond, because I was recycling and reusing that content. And I would simply just use, you know, an outfit change as two different posts on Instagram. Or if we shot in multiple locations, then I would have multiple posts for Instagram as well. So I took one session and I tried to see how I could pull all of that content, every little piece out of it, so that I could create multiple pieces of content around one interaction. So another way that you can do behind the scenes content is telling small stories throughout and about the process. Switching gears from my photography business to when we purchased the property down in Kentucky. When we purchased the property in Kentucky, many of you know that that Kentucky property was intended to be a wedding venue with overnight accommodations. So when we moved to the property, we didn't have any furniture in the actual, what we called the big house. The big house was 6,000 square feet, 5 bed, 5.5 bath with multiple common living areas. And of course the kitchen, dining room, just a huge home. And so I, throughout the process, I would do like one room at a time where I was purchasing decor for it, because each room had a theme. And I took polls and votes and on decor choices and furniture selections for each of those individually themed rooms. And I made all of that into content that kept the account going consistently, even though we never actually even booked a wedding there. Instead, thankfully, we were still able to use all of those decor choices with the Airbnb, but I was creating content before it was even a venue itself. And I just had this conversation today with a salon owner about how, you know, she was within finishing up her first year in business. And I said, did you document any of the process as you were renovating your salon and your studio? And she said she had, but she hadn't posted anything. And I just really encourage you, even if it's not real estate, even if it's just like, you know, building a service-based business, there's beauty in the process. So you absolutely should document it. Often as business owners, we are so goal-oriented, myself included, that I only want to share once it's complete or once it's perfect and pretty, but truly that's not real life. So I really encourage you to share it all, or at least as much as you're comfortable with sharing, because people really enjoy going along on the journey with you and learning what that process is like. And you never know, you could inspire someone else to start their own business too, which is a pretty cool thing. The final piece of behind the scenes content that I really encourage you to think about is showing and not telling, using those types of posts and interactions. And let me dive a little bit deeper into this. This specific bullet point was inspired by a post by a man named Jason Pfeiffer. He is the editor-in-chief over at Entrepreneur Magazine, and he was telling the story about the RX Bar and the RX Bar rebrand that really embodied the show Don't Tell philosophy. So when RX Bar first was launched, they looked very similar to many other like granola bars. It had a, you know, like magenta slash blue wrapper. It had a piece of fruit on it. It had like standard font on it, and it wasn't selling very well. So they revamped their branding, and on the outside, and even if you don't know what RX Bar is, I'm sure once I give you this very clear explanation of what their wrapper looks like now, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. So they simplified their wrapper by showing people exactly what is in the bar itself. So literally the ingredients, it could be 2 egg whites, 1 banana, and 4 types of oats. And you see 1 colored wrapper, usually pink or blue, retaining those original brand colors, but also with very specific, very contrasting in color ingredients. So you know exactly, it's showing you exactly what's inside that bar and what exactly you're going to eat, which I have not done a ton of research into RX Bar, but I would anticipate that probably one of their company values is transparency. And they embody that by showing and not telling people about their brand. So I would love for you, if you have nothing else to talk about with current client work, you could show what your company or what your business has to offer. Okay, that wraps up the very first strategy. Let's move into the second strategy. This strategy is aimed more towards those that have an established business, but you could repurpose your old content. So let me challenge you to scroll through your Instagram feed and take a look at the content that you've posted over the last year. And first of all, I want you to see how much of it is still applicable. And if that piece of content or each piece of content is still applicable, use it again. On average, about 10% of your audience organically sees your post. So although that percentage with the Instagram algorithm is changing slightly all the time, but for the sake of this conversation, let's say 10% of your followers see your post or saw your post over a year ago when you posted it. First of all, you're going to have more followers this year than you did last year, but that overall means theoretically you could post that same content 10 times before your entire audience has actually seen it. 10 times. That's a lot of times. And if you're anything like me, you probably hound yourself about overposting or reposting content once, when really you have to post it multiple times in order for your entire audience to see it anyway. So don't shorten the lifespan of your content by only posting it once. Instead, repurpose that old content so that they can see it over and over again. So if you've been on social for a while and you've looked back at those old posts, I want you to also pay attention to the insights of each of those old Instagram posts and take the ones that had the highest engagement. So the highest shares, the highest likes, the highest number of comments, all of those things. I want you to take that post that had that high engagement and I want you to wrap it in a different bow, but deliver the same content. Because if it worked once, it was likely on point as far as the messaging goes, and it will likely work again. So use that data because it's right at your fingertips. You don't want to sleep on it because your audience is already telling you what they like and what you need, and you just have to listen. So take that content that has worked in the past and wrap it up in a different bow and give them a new gift. Same content, new look. Third strategy that you could use if you are feeling like you don't have much content to post is user-generated content. And I did have an episode previously about affiliate marketing and user-generated content. So I'm going to give you what my definition for this specific episode is for user-generated content. And that is content that you can generate from your clients, your existing clients already that you've already served in some capacity. So you could share or reshare testimonials from your previous clients, reviews from your previous clients, wins or stories from your previous clients. You could even go deeper. You could share case studies or client stories with their permission, of course. I do this all the time. In fact, the episode just before this one, so season 2, episode 7, was a live call with a brand analysis client. So I used that actual client work to become content. So I'm working smarter, not harder. This allows potential clients that might want to work with you to be familiar with, well, let's use me as an example, to be familiar with me and the way I communicate, but also the process that they would go through as my client. And it demonstrates the value that I bring to the table for their business. And this doesn't have to be just a service-based industry example. These types of stories can be found in any industry. So let me give you another example from a separate business I run. I mentioned that that wedding venue didn't work out as a wedding venue, so we turned it into a short-term rental, and we have run a couple other short-term rentals in the past, and one of those short-term rentals is actually my in-law's home. And one of my favorite stories about one of their previous guests is that there's one family that now comes back every summer for a family reunion. And every year they say they're going to go to King's Dominion, which is a like semi-local theme park, about an hour, 45 minutes, an hour away. Or they say they're going to go to some other attraction. Every year they say that there's like something else that they're going to leave the house and do. Yet every year they end up staying at the house the entire time because they just love having low-key fun with each other in a comfortable place. And to me, that story shows many things about the property that I can't necessarily show through an Airbnb listing. First, it shows that it's a big enough property for a small family reunion to be comfortably held there. It also shows that it's a comfortable enough for people to like want to ditch the fun, in quotation marks, the fun plans that they had outside of the house for the slow plans of just catching up. It shows that we have returning guests, which means we offer an incredible guest experience, one that is worth coming back for. So even if we're in the dead of winter when it's usually crickets in terms of having guests there, we still have stories from previous seasons and previous years to be able to show and not tell about what our property is all about. So that is a great way to generate content when you don't have content otherwise. Now, let's say you don't have any content at all to share, like previous client stories or guest stories or any of that, you could also look into doing some affiliate marketing or UGC content of your own. So if you have affiliate codes for certain products you use, then you can make content from that. I have a couple examples from both my personal and professional life. Let's do personal life first. So I use this kind of, it crosses over between my personal and professional life, but PowerSheets is something that I use to goal plan. And I use those sheets at the beginning of every year to get really specific on the big goals that I want to achieve in order to break them out down into smaller goals. PowerSheets is a product that has personally and professionally worked for me. So all I had to do was go on their website and see if there was a way to become an affiliate, if they had an established affiliate program. And they did. So I filled out the application and the paperwork, and I had an affiliate code within a few days. The same thing occurred for a company called Created Colorful, and you all have probably heard me speak about Created Colorful before. It's the virtual color analysis where you are told what your ideal color palette is, and I have absolutely loved using that as a guide to shop. So I went online, found their affiliate program, and every once in a while I will put on my Instagram stories or I will create a blog post about them. And in fact, it's one of my most visited blog posts on my entire website. So it's driving traffic to my website as well, which is great. But that has absolutely nothing to do with my actual business. It's just part of my personal brand. So actually, I will show you a very clear example of how I incorporate that affiliate marketing into my business by going ahead and giving you all a commercial very quickly for Created Colorful. So enjoy. Look, there's nothing more on brand or in season than confidence. Whether you're an entrepreneur or a mom, in a time of imposter syndrome and constant comparison, we could all use a little bit more confidence. And that's what Created Colorful gave me. Created Colorful is a virtual color analysis where you are given your knockout color palette for guaranteed constant confidence. Imagine going into a store and knowing exactly what to pick out to make you look your best at all times. That's what Created Colorful gave me after a bout with postpartum depression, as well as an isolating entrepreneurial endeavor. So if you would like a quick confidence boost, use code ALLIERAY for $15 off your Created Colorful virtual color analysis. You can book that analysis at createdcolorful.com/virtualcoloranalysis. Use code ALLIRAE, that's A-L-I-R-A-E, at checkout for $15 off your consult and be one step closer to the confidence you crave. All right, next up is some affiliate codes for my, or affiliate marketing for my professional side of my life. And I did the exact same thing that I did with Power Sheets and Creative Colorful with the products that I use in my business already. So the first one that I have is 17 Hats, which is my CRM or my client relationship manager. So this is a piece of software where I keep all of my invoices, contracts, proposals, workflows, automated emails, my scheduler for my phone calls and sessions, as well as it has bookkeeping capabilities as well. So I keep all of that info in 17 Hats. And I know that as a service provider, it's been so helpful for me over the last 6 years that I went ahead and got an affiliate code with them, as well as my email service provider, where I do my email marketing through a company called Flowdesk. And that one, actually, I believe it was 17 Hats and Flowdesk, they automatically have the ability to give you an affiliate code as soon as you sign up. So for Flowdesk, I will go ahead and show you how I can use them as not only a income generating opportunity, but also as content when I don't have anything else to talk about by showing you an additional ad for Flowdesk here now.
Don't know where to start with email marketing? Not tech savvy, but still want pretty emails for your subscribers? Then Flowdesk is your answer. One of my favorite parts about Flowdesk is that it's really beautiful for both the business owner and the client. The client sees well-designed, eye-catching emails that actually makes them look forward to you popping into their inbox. But also on the back end, it's really easy to create funnels and segment customers. This was what I was most intimidated about when first starting an email list, and Flowdesk took care of all of that. If you'd like 50% off your first year subscription to Flowdesk, simply go to allierayhaney.com/flowdesk to sign up and get your email list started today.
Okay, so I'm grouping this mini strategy into the user-generated content because it's kind of like thinking backwards in terms of user-generated content. So I encourage you to research hashtags that your target audience might also be searching for. This is also known as keyword research on social media, and see what other content is out there that you might be overlooking as you're trying to create content for your own account. Use that as inspiration for your own content. But I just have to like preface this as an English prior English teacher. I do feel like I need to say, like, please do not plagiarize someone else's content. You can use it as inspiration. That's okay. Use it as a beginning of your own brainstorm, but I need it to be like your own content. Just use that as a springboard to create the content for your own brand. If things are so quiet that like you don't know where to go next, then I encourage you to use that time to get to know your audience even better. You can use polls or the little question boxes on Instagram. You can use quizzes to gain like interaction and learn more about your audience, their tendencies, their hobbies, their needs, their problems. But don't just stop there, because this is where most people kind of fall off the interaction or engagement bandwagon. If you have people engaging with you through those polls and question boxes and quizzes, do not sleep on that engagement. I want you to follow up with those people, because on the back end of Instagram, you can see who answers your question boxes, you can see who votes in your polls and which way they vote, and you can also see who answers like quiz questions and how they answer those as well. So what I found is that a voice message in the DMs, if you're following up and asking more questions in the DMs, that keeps that lead warm. And not only that, but you could use a voice message, and that voice message goes a really long way to show someone that you are human and you are real and you are caring. You're not just doing this, you know, for vanity metrics or to make yourself feel good. You're doing it because you actually care and want to get to know them and their pain points even more so that you can help solve them. Okay. That was a long one because there were a bunch of like mini strategies wrapped up into the one strategy, but we're moving on to strategy number four, which is educational posts. If you already have content buckets made, likely one of those content buckets has to do with education. And educating your audience about the service you sell or the product you sell is key. For me, so many people have different definitions of what branding is. So even breaking down the definition of the lingo or the jargon that you use within your niche, that can be used as content. In fact, in the past, I did a brand term breakdown and actually made a whole series of it. So I would start out with like brand mission, brand values, and I would include definitions of each term as well as examples, an example of a mission statement, an example of a value, examples of taglines, brand voice and tone. And that way I was able to fully explain all of the branding terms when it comes to brand strategy so that people can better understand what it is that I do and how I can do it for them. Now, if you don't already have content buckets made, no worries. I actually have a free resource for you to download that helps you outline those content buckets. And you can find that in the show notes at the end of this episode. I'll be sure to link that there. But these content buckets might look different based off of what industry you're in. But let's use another industry, for example, that's like kind of outside of my own. Let's use real estate. So real estate is really heavy on technical terms and jargon. Someone that's not ever been involved in the real estate world before probably doesn't know what earnest money is or a conventional loan or owner finance, contingency, title insurance. To a real estate agent or a broker, like those terms are used every day, so they're really familiar. But to some people, those terms are foreign and intimidating. So instead of just using them freely and expecting them to be able to understand, break it down for them, educate them, and even if they're not ready to buy right now, I can guarantee you that when they are, they will be coming to you because you're familiar to them and they trust you. Okay, strategy number five is one, it's a good strategy. It's just one of my least favorite strategies. And that's using seasonal or relevant / trendy topics. So if you're having trouble finding things to post because you don't have anything to post about, then you can take the time to research social media trends and brainstorm them to fit into your business or industry. Without fail, there is always a trending audio or trending video type or just an overall trend that you can take and adapt to your individual industry, business, or niche. This one, I will say, gets a little bit sticky because sometimes you get pulled into just like an endless scroll. So instead of getting pulled into that endless scroll, looking at things on your social media that perhaps your algorithm is tailoring to you and your interests, instead, once you have, let's say, three different trends that you could use in terms of audio, type of video, etc., then you can from then write down those specific three videos that you need to record in order to be able to execute those videos. Do not get sucked into the mindless scroll because let me tell you, it is very tempting. Sixth strategy. Look, you can tell that I don't really like that one because it's such a short and sweet strategy. But the sixth strategy is incorporating personal content. If all else fails, you will always have a personal life that you can share about. And you know that I'm a huge proponent of a personal brand. Like I mentioned before, the Created Colorful example is a piece of my personal life that I consistently bring up because it had such a positive impact in my life. A lot of people like to share about their children if they have them, or about perhaps like homeschooling that they're doing. If you are going through, let's say you're trying to buy a new car, okay, and you're going through and getting some interaction of your audience between which car should I buy, or which, you know, is the 4Runner better than the Honda Pilot? Like, including any type of that content when you don't have actual client content to share. I'm going to call it personal or hygiene content because you are still sharing and getting to know your audience, and your audience is getting to like you, to know you, to be familiar with you, and ultimately trust you. So they are getting to see a little bit of the story outside of just the business side of you, and that continues to build trust. Like, let me give you Chip and Joanna Gaines, for example, right? I'm sure they're never short on client work, but outside of Fixer Upper, you know that they have, oh my gosh, now I'm blinking, but I think 4 kids. Everyone knew that Chip was running a marathon. Like, that doesn't have anything to do necessarily with flipping houses or woodworking or architecture, anything like that, right? But we still know that that's part of his identity, part of his hobbies, and it's okay to share those other pieces of your personality because that's how you develop a personal brand. The 7th and final strategy, and I love this one. It's a new one within the last couple years, but if all else fails, ask ChatGPT. When ChatGPT first came out, I was scared of it. I was so fearful of plagiarizing someone else's work, of not being capable of having an original thought anymore. And I cannot tell you how silly that was. Now at this point, ChatGPT is always an open browser item, no matter what I'm doing. Despite whether I'm working on like client work, if I'm working on my own Ali Ray Haney brand development digital marketing business, if I'm working on the Escape Conference, no matter what it is, I will always have ChatGPT open, and let me tell you why. So at the Escape Conference, Abby and Courtney of the Duo Collective suggested using ChatGPT as your marketing intern in order to brainstorm topics for content pillars, overall content ideas for your business or your niche. And they did mention, while ChatGPT should not be your CMO, it shouldn't be your chief marketing officer, ChatGPT can be your intern, your marketing intern. You don't want it creating your entire marketing strategy for you, but it can certainly help you narrow down the interest of your ideal client and create messaging that speaks directly to them. So before you jump right in and just ask ChatGPT, what should my content pillars be? They have to know who, or he, it, ChatGPT has to know who you're speaking to. So let's first create an overall description of your ideal client, but I want you to dive further than just that overall description. You can then ask ChatGPT about your ideal client's psychographics. You can ask about their pain points. You can ask about where they shop. You can ask about how they determine what they're going to buy, like how they make purchasing decisions. Then once that whole profile is well established, you can then dive into what type of content that that person might be interested in based off of your niche. But without that first base of knowing who your ideal client is, the content creation could potentially not even speak to who you need to speak to. So make sure that that foundation is there first, and then you can dive deeper down the rabbit hole with ChatGPT to establish those content pillars, to establish how you want to have that brand tone be, to establish what that messaging is going to be as you talk very specifically to that ideal client that you've now outlined. Okay, now you are armed with 7 strategies that can help you create content when you feel like you're either in a dry spell or a content drought, whatever you want to call it. Maybe you're at the beginning of your business and you don't yet have clients established. Now you have strategies that you can use to overcome that. Let me recap those strategies really quickly before we conclude. 1, behind the scenes content from business planning, session planning, renovations, any part of the process, document it. It's all part of the story. 2, if you've been in business for a while, you can repurpose old content that has performed well. Just bring that back to life. 3, user-generated content can be great, whether that's testimonials from your clients or case studies about your clients, or it could be you making affiliate or user-generated content for brands on their behalf. Use what you already have access to. 4, Educational posts can be super helpful hygiene content that warms up your audience that may not quite be ready to purchase from you yet, but is establishing trust in order to do so when the time comes. 5. Seasonal topics or trends that can be applied to your own industry are great when you're looking for B-roll content for those in-between times. 6. A personal brand is made for a reason. Use your personal life to show off more parts of your personality in those quiet business times. And 7. When all else fails, let ChatGPT be your marketing or content intern and let it do the brainstorming for and with you. Now, armed with these strategies, you should be able to be a content creation queen and attract your ideal client even when you don't have current content. With that, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Allie Rae Haney Show. This wraps up season 2. I can't believe it's over already. We will be back on July 3rd with the first episode of season 3. But until then, keep dreaming, keep creating, and remember, your brand is your story. Let's tell it together.
As my son would say, did it! You just completed another episode of the Allie Rae Haney Show. If you found this helpful, please rate, review, and subscribe to help others find this show and so you never miss an episode. Take a look at the show notes for all the resources mentioned in today's episode. Let's continue the conversation over in my private Facebook group, the Allie Rae Haney Show Insiders. See you next Wednesday, and as always, I'm here cheering you on as you build your dream brand and business.